frequency, WGOD. God is always broadcasting, and he has a word for you here today, as long as you tune into, as long as you go to where he's speaking, and he's speaking loud and clear through his word. God always has a word for you if you tune in to his frequency. We're going to hear a sermon now. I just preached on Sunday, and this has been a power-packed book. I can see why Jesus calls John one of the sons of thunder, because he pulls no punches. He's a much stricter preacher than Peter or Paul was, and that is where we're at. We are looking at this shocking text here today and tomorrow from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, where he says that anyone who is a friend of the world is not a Christian. And it's kind of the same as what James said. We're going to look at that in this sermon here today, where James calls any of us who is guilty of this an adulterer or adulteress, that the friendship with the world is enmity with God. Enmity, the word means hostility or hatred. And what a strong word, and it really is shocking to think how much God hates it when you and I are friends with the world. We're going to get to the bottom of that and answer that question here by the end of this sermon. Let me let this opening play for both Wednesday and Thursday. It's a 43-minute message, part one on Wednesday. If you're listening in on Thursday, you're going to hear the conclusion of that today. And enjoy this message. Again, I encourage you to download the app, WGOD Radio. All of these programs are uploaded on there. You can give and support financially on there. Believe me, that would be greatly appreciated if you'd be so led to do that. Help keep this ministry broadcasting the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching the word of God verse by verse. Those are the best ways to follow along with us. Let's get into the word now. Again, Wednesday and Thursday, we're in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. And the Bible says that when you see him, people are going to say to him, "Are you the one that did all this?" He's going to be a little pointy-headed, pimple-nosed Poindexter with a point on the top of his head. And people are going to say, "Are you the one? Are you the fool that caused all of this? Because you can't see him now. But the time is coming when you will see him, and he'll be exposed for who he is. The greatest secret he doesn't want you to know is that you have a power and authority over him through the word of God." Thank God. Now, Jesus answers this temptation, verse 8. Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for," thank you, "it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." He didn't tell him to drop dead like he could have and like I wish that he would have. But he quoted the Bible to him to give you and I an example for how you and I are to endure temptations in this world from the enemy. Paul called our only weapon a sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The usual word for word is the word logos, not this time. Here it's the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A. That word means the spoken word of God. So it's not the devil comes and does, and then you say, "Oh, hold on a minute, let me find that here." It's what you got already on the inside of you in your heart. It's the spoken word. It is written. You got to know it on the inside. And then when these things happen, you speak it. It's the spoken word of God that is your sword. It's your only sword. It's the spoken word of God. I'm reminded of that demon that said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who in blazes are you?"
You better be a child of God or it won't help you at all. Brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself," or as they say in Jersey, "throw yourself down, tough guy. Come on, you're the Son of God." That's what, if you are, throw yourself down. Now he's going to misquote the Bible to get him to do that. "For it is written," now the devil's going to, "hey, this works for him. I'm going to cast out the demon by the Jesus that Paul talks about." Now Satan's going to try it. He's going to quote the word of God to Jesus. Listen to what he says. Verse 10, "For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." So, Deuteronomy 8:3, Deuteronomy 6:13, and Deuteronomy 6:16. What can we say? Deuteronomy 8:3, 6:13, and 6:16. What can we say to these things? Apparently, Jesus likes the book of Deuteronomy. What thinkest thou? I heard David Jeremiah say, "What an odd book for someone to choose to cast the devil out." How many of you people in here would use Deuteronomy for that? One. All right, Brent. Brent would use Deuteronomy. We'll edit that out of the podcast. No, Jesus did. He's right. I've used it many times, the same verses. That's what he taught me, right? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He uses Deuteronomy. Why can't I? We've got 65 other books we can use too. But again, what an odd book you would think to whoop the devil. But isn't he perfect in all of his ways? You and I have got 66 books now at our disposal so that you too can put the hurt on the devil. Amen. Now, when Jesus had ended, verse 13, "every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time," meaning he'll be back. He'll be back when you're hungry, when you're tired, when you're weak, maybe when you're sick, when you're fasting, or when you're in trouble and turmoil. That's the opportune time, and he'll be back. But church, I'm here to tell you this morning that the word of God, this book right here, is your weapon. This word, this rhema, spoken word of God, is our weapon against the enemy here today. And again, Jesus did this to give an example for you and I to show how to withstand the enemy when we are here on earth. And you've just seen his mode, how he operates. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Wow, I wonder how far we could take that one. Masks and shots, couldn't we? The pride of life. You know, I didn't think about that heading into this. I'm going to have to do some thinking about that. I don't have the answer to this either, but do we see Satan's M.O.? Maybe we do. Do we? You're nodding your head. Yes. Do we see Satan's M.O. in the threats they put on us today? Lust of the flesh. That's coming, right? Once the FDA approves this virus, you can bet your sweet Biffy that's coming. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. I just read today. Thank God for all of you vaccinated people out there. You have stopped this world from exploding. You've saved us from all those wicked people that won't get a vaccine. The pride of life. take this or else. You see, my point is, we know how Satan operates. Therefore, we will not be deceived when it comes. Look for those things from Eve to Jesus and everyone in between. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Look at that guy that got on the airplane with Ebola. Got on a plane with 300 people. He knew he had it. They asked him if he had it. He goes, nope, I don't have it. But he was going to go see a doctor in the United States. Infected all those men, women, and children on an airplane. Why? Because Satan had his number. Pride of life. What did he say? All that a man has, he will give in exchange for it. Skin for skin. Now, back to my sermon title here. Friend of God or friend of the world? We just looked at in John how the enemy will attack us. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. All right, now one more person has a lot to say about this. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4. Those watching on the internet are not going to be able to catch the end of this. Let me move on. James, chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses. All right, first off, the Holy Spirit is comparing partnering with the world to spiritual adultery. Obviously not physical adultery, spiritual adultery against God. Look at what he calls you, or them, or you. Only you can answer that. Who's your friend this morning? The word justifies you or convicts you? Not me. I'm just preaching the word to you. The Holy Spirit is calling you an adulterer or an adulteress. Let's keep reading here. He says, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? All right, enmity is the Greek word ekthros, which means either of two things, hatred or hostility. Hostility. Do you not know that the friendship with the world is hostility with God? What an amazing text this is. What an absolute slap in the face. This is a total affront against the holy God and spiritual adultery. Friendship with the world is open hostility towards God. So what would make me a friend of the world? How can I make sure? Now, logical question is, right? How can I make sure that I'm not guilty of this, right? Because God is good. God gives us all things richly to enjoy. How do you know the difference between enjoying a thing? God said to David, if that hadn't been enough, all you had to do was ask, I would have given you more. So how can we tell the difference between enjoying good things and worldly things maybe that God's given you and being in love with the world? How do I tell the difference? Number one, what would make me a friend of the world? Number one, approving of sin. I said, approving of sin will make you a friend of this world. Approving gay marriage. agreeing with the world instead of believing in what the Bible says about something. Approve of sin, and you are a friend of the world, and you're a hostile enemy of God. Everyone with me? Number two, believing in evolution. God says, I created everything. The world says, no, I don't believe that. Studies have shown that we now know that you are a product of evolution. That is the definition of friendship with the world. Read Genesis 1:1, people, in your Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and shut the book and choose sides. Which side are you on? They fire college professors left and right by the thousands for believing in that. You got to choose, though. Which side are you on? Moses and Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You're either a friend of God or you're a friend of this world. The evolution argument is 5 seconds long. I didn't say how old the world was. I don't know. But I know God made it because my Bible tells me so. When God's got a job to do in Merritt Island, I pray my name is on his Rolodex. Paul W. Esposito. He's crazy about me. I can trust him. With my every breath, I got to make sure I remain on his Rolodex. A person that God can use. How about you? Is your name on God's Rolodex today? Will he send people your way? He certainly sends people into this church, doesn't he? That shows you how much he trusts us. He knows someone's going to hear the truth, whether or not they walk out and leave or not. You're going to hear the truth here. We have a 100% cure rate here in this church. 100%. You do what God says, and you'll leave here cured and healed of whatever is ailing you. He's never lost anyone except Judas. Number three, friendship with the world, supporting abortion. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, God said to Jeremiah. For you to buddy up with this world and choose sides against the righteousness of God, then you stand in total hostility against God and certainly cannot sing the song on Sunday morning or any Sunday or any day for that matter. I am a friend of God. Don't waste your time singing it because you're not. You might be a friend of his, but he might be a friend of yours, but you're no friend of his if you support abortion because God is the creator of life. Number four. Approving others who were guilty of Numbers 1, 2, and 3. I don't have time to read it. Approving others who are guilty of that. The main verse would be Romans 1:32, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, they not only practice these things that are deserving of death, not only do they do the same, but they approve of those who practice them. That would be maybe your son or your daughter. Maybe your son's going to marry a man. And you say, oh, well done, Elmer. God loves you. Everything is fine. When you do that, you're just as guilty as Elmer. That's marrying a man, is what the text says. And now instead of a friend of God, you're a friend of the world. You did that to get along with the world. Instead of honor a righteous and holy God. And praise God, we're going an hour and a half today. Any objections?
No.
Okay. One more time. James 4:4, and we're done. You adulterers, ye, King James, ye. Ye is plural. Adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Then it says, whosoever, meaning it's your choice. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. There you have it this morning. The Holy Spirit's told us the same thing through the Apostle John in our main text here this morning, as well as through Jesus' half-brother here, James. This is an evil world. This evil world is diametrically opposed to the ways of God. And you've seen how serious God takes this text. Much more than any other thing we've read in the New Testament. He really gets sore at being a friend of this world. So let me say, side with God here today. You'll learn his side as you come to church every week and hear his word preached. As you read and study your Bibles daily, or as often as you have the desire or the chance to hear a word from God, I hope that's often. Okay, now next week, John's going to tell us it's the last hour. And as you've heard, the Antichrist is coming. One of my favorite sermons. That'll be next week. But again, here's this list, and I added three more to it. The ways to know that you're friends with the world. Number one, you approve of sin. Number two, you believe in the evolution lie. Number three, you support abortion. Number four, you approve of others that approve these things. Here's a couple others. Number five, you live like Jesus is not coming back. Because you're a friend of the world. You're a friend of God or you're a friend of the world. If you're a friend of God, you're looking up in the skies. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:28, he's coming again a second time to all those that look for him. Yeah? You ought to have a crick in your neck looking for him. Like a kid on Christmas Eve. Live like Jesus is not returning. Number six way is you are a member of a lukewarm church. Jesus says to them, you know what? You make me want to vomit. What do you think? What do you think? How do you think Jesus feels about a lukewarm church and the pastor of that church? He wrote a letter to the pastor and said, hey, pastor, you know what? You make me sick to my stomach. Who wants to hear that as a pastor? Bill, you want to hear that in your next church? You get a letter from God. He says, Bill, you make me sick. I got to write a book. Things I don't ever want to hear from God. You make me want to puke. Because the lukewarm church, hear me, is the same temperature as its surroundings. This man over here is building us a cross we're going to put in here. But today, people are getting rid of crosses because they offend people. They take the name of church off the church because who wants to go to a church that's named church? That's old school. Choirs, music, hymns. Why? To appeal to the world. Jesus says, that makes me sick. Sick to my stomach. And the last one, which really will sum up everything, because I said sometimes it's hard to tell a difference between God gives us good things, you know? I got a beautiful wife. I got a nice Jeep. You own a boat. God's been good to us. What's the difference? How do I know? I'm not a friend of the world because I've got good things. Answer is, when you oppose the truth is the difference. And to know that you are a friend of the world. That one sentence I could say, when you oppose the truth that's found in the Word of God, you're either for it or you're against it. But don't be confused that you've got good things or maybe a couple houses or money in the bank, or things, because God is good. And he's good to us. And he's promised us that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. But to be a friend of the world is to go along with the world, to get along with the world when it's in opposition to a holy God.
Amen.
And that's the difference. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we hold lightly and with open hands all the things you've given us. We praise your mighty name in this church. You've been so good to us. You are good. We praise you and magnify you here today. Lord, in these days here today and in the coming days, show us. We don't want to be like Peter and say, well, this is my neighbor over here that's worldly, but not me. Help us again, Lord, to say, is it I? Is it I? Show us what one thing we lack so that we can turn from it, repent of it, leave it behind us, and get on with serving you during these end of days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only 5-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
Stands.